I don't know if you caught that, but there are so many passages in Scripture that speak about our God, who is a communicating God, a God who speaks to us. And I'm beginning a series starting this week called Amplify, and it's about this concept of God speaking to us and how can we raise the volume of God's voice in our lives. See, I did a research project for my doctoral dissertation on helping people discover God's will and plan for their life. What does God want me to be? And what does God want me to do with my life? And I believe that God has a plan for your life. I've been teaching that forever and ever. And yet, if we need to know that, or if we want to know that, if we seek that, then it has to be revealed to us. It has to come from God. Sometimes we mistakenly say, this is my call. But truthfully, if you're a follower of Jesus, it's never your call. It's always God's call on your life. And God has a call for each and every one of us. And if it's his call, it needs to be revealed by him in his voice. We have to hear God speak. And this idea of hearing God speak is a bit of a mystery sometimes. It's a bit of a challenge sometimes, and many people wrestle with what it means. Now, I want to ask a question. Have any of you ever tried to tune a guitar? It was a lot of people in the first service that tried. And raise your hand if you've tried to tune a guitar. Okay, a few of you have tried to tune a guitar, quite a bit actually. And if you try to tune a guitar, you realize very quickly you've got to be able to listen very closely to what's going on when you play two notes. Essentially, when you tune a guitar, you listen to one note, that's the right note, and then you try to play the next string and make it sound exactly the same and in the same pitch. And it's tricky to do that, but if you practice and learn, you can actually hear the dissonance and the wavelengths between the notes when they are out of alignment. There's a lack of harmony, and then you can actually hear them come into synchronization and into harmony with one another with practice and time, attention, and if it's loud enough. The problem is, often when I'm trying to tune my guitar, I'm in a room full of people, and there's noise, and there's a drummer playing around, and there's people talking, and I can't hear quite enough, and I have to say, can everybody just be quiet for a minute so I can hear, because I can't tune in. Now, of course, there's electric tuners now that would save you all that trouble, right? Like, but if you want to be a musician, you got to know how to tune your instrument, and you should know how to do it by ear. It takes practice. And then I learned after a while that there's a little trick I would do to teach others how to tune their guitar, is I would plug the guitar into an amplifier. And when you plug into an amplifier, you can increase the volume. And actually, it's easier to hear those variations and wavelengths kind of coming together, and you can start to pick it out. Now, that cranking up that volume actually lets you learn to hear it, and then when it's quieter, it becomes easier and easier to hear the softer sounds when you know what you're listening for. And so it's really important with God that we learn how to hear his voice, and that we help each other, and we learn what his voice sounds like and how he speaks, so that we learn to see and hear his voice even in the busyness and hectic lives that we live, because it can become very hard sometimes to hear God in the world around us. I'm going to step down here because I left my remote to change the slides down here somewhere. It's where'd it go? There it is, under a piece of paper. Sorry about that. Everybody online is watching me walk off. It's important, though, that we hear God's voice and we amplify God's voice. Now, we can't plug God into an amplifier and crank his voice up in that sense, but I do believe there are certain things we can do to increase our ability to hear God speak. And this series will cover that. In fact, I had some people between services say, oh, but what about this and what about that? And you should talk about this. And I said, it's coming. That's there. So I won't answer all your questions today. There's more to come. I hope you'll come to all the series. I was actually thinking today that, you know, if God is speaking through this, perhaps one of the things you need to do to listen is to just be there and to listen to hear his voice. There are times when God will want to speak to you, but if we don't show up, perhaps that's part of the reason we don't hear him speak. And so I encourage you to show up, whether it, and all our sermons and series are online, so if you miss a week, you can catch up and stay in tune with what God wants to say to us through this series. This was part of my studies, like I shared, And it is an important process, but there's a lot to talk about. But the first thing that I want to talk about today is that God speaks. And frankly, if God speaks, then our job is to what? Is to listen. And we need to learn to listen. John 10:27 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." There's a lot in that verse that we won't dwell on particularly in detail, but just look closely at it. We listen to his voice. He knows us, and we follow him. There's a response. It's not have someone hear you but not listen to you? Or have you ever heard someone but then not listen? Because listening implies that I respond to what I heard, right? You know, you can tell a kid to clean the room, but they can say, "Yeah, I heard you," but unless they clean the room, they didn't listen to you, right? Like, or we've all probably been guilty of hearing but not listening. So the question I would ask, and I ask this in a real honest query, does anyone ever heard someone else say, "God spoke to me and said dot dot dot"? They kind of gave you this is what God said to me, and you kind of wondered, how do they know? I mean, I say that frequently, that God speaks to me. I tell people all the time that God speaks to me. Have you ever kind of doubted that person might know whether it's God's voice or not? I mean, how do followers of Jesus know when God is speaking? Have you ever wondered, when you think maybe God is saying something to me, but how do I know for sure it's God? Or is it just a bad meal I ate the night before? Or is it, you know, am I, because the Bible speaks about having dreams and visions, and I don't know about you, but some of my dreams are clearly not from God. They're messed up things that your brain, you know, creates. So how do we know? How do we know if God is speaking to us? And it starts by understanding that God does want to speak. This is a critical part of our belief. And it seems so simple because, of course, we talk about this, but I think we can become a little bit, I don't know, frustrated and maybe convinced that God speaks to others but not us. But he does, and our Bible is very clear. God has always been clear throughout history, and even the most basic reading of Scripture demonstrates a God who communicates to his people. He wants to reveal to us himself and his will. He has done it throughout time, and the Bible itself is the most incredible evidence of this. The fact that we have this ancient text preserved for thousands of years, better than any other ancient text, it's incredible the amount of preservation and clear evidence of preservation of these original works that we have that far exceeds anything else. It's incredible how God has preserved his word for us, and that itself is evidence that God wants to communicate. I often have asked people, why didn't God come in the 2000s and you know, put his word on YouTube, you know, make it? He could have easily communicated to everyone in the modern era and age a lot easier. But God chose the Scriptures. He chose this way for a reason, and I think I have a lot of opinions on what that might be, but I think one of the reasons is because it requires us to quiet down, slow down, take time, and listen. It's not easy, and I don't know if it was ever meant to be. It's meant to be something significant in our lives. Think of all the incredible acts of God speaking throughout Scripture, of Abraham, Moses, Noah, Elijah, Samuel. We just read Elijah's story, and David, and Peter, Paul, John, and of course Jesus, to name a few, who was the very Word of God. And so we looked at the Scripture. I'm not going to read it again. We just took the time to. But when we see in Elijah's life, if you read the story of Elijah, a pattern of knowing God, of listening to God, of being obedient to God, and we see a pattern in his life. But he's going through a hard time, and he's away. Things are not going so well for him, and he's facing difficulty. But God doesn't speak to him in the booming voice of the wind or through the fire or the earthquake. No, he speaks to him in a gentle whisper, and it gives us a glimpse into what it means to hear God speak. But I could have given any number of stories of Scripture. I love the story of Samuel, who hears a voice and thinks, keeps going, you know, and saying, you know, yeah, did you call me? And he finally realizes, no, it's God speaking. And he's told to just say, yes, Lord, I'm listening. The question of God speaking should be a given in Scripture. And if you believe in God, you ought to believe in a God who speaks. And I think that we have to start from there and then ask, well, how does he speak? How can I know the voice of God? How do I hear that voice in my life? And these are all important questions. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a background, you know, theology lesson here for a minute of what we call divine revelation. When we study Scripture, anytime God reveals himself to us, speaks to us, or shares who he is with us, that's divine revelation. It's God revealing himself to us, his will, himself, and his character. He's not silent. He has made himself known, and this process of God making himself known is from him. It is his work, not ours. We don't go and discover God. God first revealed himself to us. If God had chosen not to reveal himself to us, we would not know him. Divine revelation definitively means to unveil or uncover something that was previously hidden for us. We could not know God without him first revealing to us who he is. And this is God's deliberate disclosure of his plans, his character, and himself. And we have that in Scripture. We need to believe that God is a speaking God. And so Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. It means it doesn't come from us. Seek his will in all you do. And what will he do? He will show you which path to take. God wants to direct our lives. He wants to communicate with us. He wants to be in active relationship and active communication with us. Matthew 6 carries that same thing on in the New Testament. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. God wants to communicate. And what do you need to seek his kingdom? You need to hear him speak. You need to know what he's asking of us. Mark 4, 6 says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's all throughout the New Testament. It's one of the phrases Jesus uses often. And oftentimes he's speaking about people who don't have the ears to hear because they are not tuned in to the voice of God. And so before we can hear God's voice, we need to understand how does God speak. And so divine revelation comes in two distinct categories. And those distinct categories are not the same thing. They both are valid. Please don't understand. One is not necessarily lesser than the other, but one is necessary for the other. And that is God's general revelation requires God's specific revelation. And I'll explain what I mean by that. So specific revelation is specific. It's clear. It's not ambiguous or given to one kind of person in privacy. It is for all to see. It is direct universal communication. Essentially, when we talk about God's specific revelation, we believe that is the words of Scripture. Now, originally, those words would have come through the prophets and the early church fathers. They would have come through these people that God revealed this to through his power of his Holy Spirit, through the authors of the New Testament. All of these things would have come and been revealed through people at the beginning. But now we see those, and we have this recorded history in God's word. And so this is direct, clear communication from God, that we see him accurately and we know who he is. And the important part of specific revelation is that is the guide to understanding general revelation. Right? This is the way, this is our source of truth. We have to have a standard of truth that allows us to evaluate questionable things. Have you ever heard someone say, God said this to me, and in your head you're going, that doesn't sound like my God. There's all kinds of stories in history I don't even like to even think about where people have done things in the name of God that are clearly not the will of God. How does that happen? I think it happens when we get God's general revelation out of alignment with God's specific revelation. See, originally God gave this specific revelation through his people, like I said, but the greatest source of specific revelation was through Jesus. The Word made flesh, John says, where Jesus is literally called the Word of God. And so when Jesus lived among us, he demonstrated who God is. He lived it out for us to see. He taught us who God is, even in parables and things that we had to have ears to hear to understand who God is. And Scripture contains the recorded history of all of God's specific revelation to us. So in the Word of God, in our Bibles, we have the specific revelation of God at hand. And frankly, I'm tempted sometimes to ask crowds and say, has anyone ever heard God speak? How many of you would say you've heard God speak? And if I do that, some people put up their hands and other people will not. But I don't want to embarrass anyone because it's easy to say, no, God has never spoken to me. But the truth is, if you've ever heard one verse of Scripture, God has spoken to you. And you all have here today. So everyone can say, yes, God speaks to me. Now, we may not listen. That's another thing we'll talk about in a minute. But ultimately, if we hear God's word, we have heard God speak. This is his revelation, his specific revelation to us. So when you think of specific revelation, it is God's word through Jesus, lived out, recorded for us through all the early church and the Old Testament story of God. All of the history of God's revelation is found in the book of, in the books of Scripture. And so there's no greater way for you to hear God's voice than through the Scriptures. This is important because it's the starting point of everything. Now, I want to make another thing clear. We're going to talk about the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the voice of the Holy Spirit can come generally and specifically. But the voice of the Holy Spirit is alive and part of Scripture. When you read the Word, the Holy Spirit is the author of those Scriptures. As the divine inspiration, God, through the original writers, the Holy Spirit is the author. So you can say the Holy Spirit speaks to you through the words of the text. Absolutely. That is a correct way to think about that. In fact, I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand and know what God is saying through the text before you read it. Every time I sit down to read the Bible, I ask the Holy Spirit to be present in my reading and to help me know it. And so the Holy Spirit and the text of Scripture and encountering that is all interconnected. You cannot separate those two and hear God properly. But the Word of God is the primary way that God speaks to us. And God has revealed himself through the person of Jesus that we can only really know in its pages. It is what has been recorded by the Holy Spirit for us to know him. That's why I believe the Scriptures are a sacramental place. The word sacrament means a place to meet God. The Scriptures are so much more than just a book. They are a meeting place between us and our Lord and Savior. Now, of course, it has to be deeper than just information. It has to be formational. It has to be something that we have to encounter God in the Word. And the truth is, if you aren't spending time in the Word, beyond even reading, but if you aren't reading the Word, you really have no right to complain that God isn't speaking to you because he's made it readily available. We live in a time and an age where hearing and knowing the Scriptures and having them accessible is easier than ever. If you can have them on your phone. I have about 20 versions of the Bible accessible on my phone. I forgot my phone today, so I guess I don't right now, but the truth is there's we have Bibles here. If you don't have a Bible and you want a physical Bible, we will give you one. There is no reason not to have the Word of God today unless you live in a part of the world where that is not allowed. But we have that freedom here. He's given us his voice, his Word. And listen, studies have shown, this is not just me making up statistics or anything, I'm not going to even give you the specific statistics, but studies have shown that the single most important determining factor in someone's spiritual growth is whether they are spending time in the Word. Nothing else even comes close to a significant, if you want to grow in your spiritual life and relationship with Christ, nothing is more significant than your time in the Word. If you hear nothing else today, know that you have to spend time in the Word to hear the voice of God. I cannot, like all the rest that we will do, will not help if you're not spending time in the Word. And just Sunday morning hearing me share the Word is not enough. We have to listen to God on a regular basis. And we have to spend time in His Word. And yes, given that is a challenging task at times, and there's a lot, I have a whole series on just how to read and study your Bible that, maybe we'll flow into that later on. But the point is, you just got to trust that God will speak to you and ask His Spirit to help you in the process. Now, let's talk quickly about general revelation. We're going to get into this. We're going to, a little later on in the series. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it here. But I want you to know the difference. General revelation are those other ways that God does speak to us, but they are subjective and experiential kind of ways of hearing God speak. They can come through circumstances, through people. They can come sometimes directly to our heart through the Holy Spirit. But because they are not, as easy to understand at times, they require us to really subject them to the specific revelation of God. So these things are valid, but they do need to be compared to and filtered through the truth of Scripture. So general revelation is subjective and needs to be filtered through the wisdom of Scripture. So we use the specific revelation of God to help us know and clarify if the general revelation from God is accurate. In other words, if you think you have a vision from God, or you think you have a dream and you're like, I wonder if this is from God, we need to look at, does this line up? Does this line up with who God is? Does it line up with what God has said? It protects us from straying from the known will, character, and truth of God into ways of thinking that are beyond that. And I think it's pretty obvious, if you think about it, that many people have neglected this practice at times. And we have lots of truth being taught as if it's God's will that isn't necessarily aligned with scriptural truth. And so it looks kind of like this image on the screen, that we take our general revelation, we think God is saying this. If you think God is speaking to you or giving you something or talking through your experiences, thoughts, doubts, circumstances, even your own voice, I mean, God can speak through any means. I've heard God speak in the most random of situations because He just made something clear to me in that moment, but it has to be filtered through the Word of God. And so when we allow Scripture to be that clarifying thing, it protects us from straying from the known will of God. And so it's a very helpful way for us to listen. And so what do we know? We know God will never contradict His Word. Now this is a blanket statement that we have to be careful of. I can't get into this too much, but when I say His Word, I mean the whole canon of Scripture. There are parts of Scripture that need to be understood in light of other Scripture. Those of us who study the Bible in depth understand that Scripture reveals and explains Scripture. So sometimes we need to look at the whole, because a verse taken out of context can be a little bit difficult to understand. And I know that can seem overwhelming, but that's why we need other people to help us in this process. That's why you can come to me and say, I'm reading this in Scripture, but it doesn't make sense. Can you help me? Or maybe you need to gather with others and in a small group and share these things together and learn or study, and that's what commentaries and experts help us to understand. And so when we look to God, we want to hear His voice through the Word of God. I want to just shift gears just a little bit and say we have God's specific revelation. We have God's voice. We have God's general revelation. We know He speaks to us. The question is, as I started with, is are we listening? I love this little cartoon. This guy's falling off a ladder and he says, you weren't listening. I said, don't fall. Have you ever felt like that, that someone tells you something after the fact, or you're kind of like, it's already too late? Or I love it when someone trips and falls, you say, be careful. A little too late, right? But the problem is not with God, is not that God is not speaking to us, but are we listening? Are we listening to what God would say to us? If He speaks as He did to Elijah in a still small voice, in the whispers of our lives. How do we tune into that? Go back to that idea of the guitar tuning. How do we get to the point where we know this is the voice of God? Well, we have to know his word. See, if you think God is speaking to you, great. But you have to know God's word to make sure that we don't get lost into our own preconceived ideas and wishes. Have you ever just wanted something to be true so bad that you kind of believe it until you're proven otherwise? Like, that's fair, but God's word is actually meant to shape and form our thinking and even to correct us. So there's some common problems. I want to get a little practical with us for just a few minutes. I'm going to try to do this each week. When I originally taught this in a retreat setting, we would talk about it, and then I would give you practical things to go and do. We don't have that option necessarily here, but I will share some practical things online over the weeks, and I hope you'll follow along in our newsletter. And if you're not on, if you haven't joined our Facebook page, then follow along there for some practical ways to practice these things. But there are common things that interfere with our listening. I don't know about you, but sometimes we just put our fingers in our ears and go, la, la, you know, you ever do that as a kid? Oh, I'm not listening when someone's trying to say something you don't want to hear. You know, we don't want to be the person who's not listening, but there's times where we want to hear, but there are things that get in the way. I love this, another cartoon I found that I think is great from that verse we shared earlier. Sometimes we don't hear God because of all the distractions in our life. Have you ever been this person, the sheep that's sitting there saying, I don't know why God's not speaking to me? Of course, the technology is quite outdated. Eh? Like, how many of you are looking at a TV going, like, I remember those when they were, you know, 60 pounds and this big. He's even got an iPod on there that's old. But the idea, though, is, you know, the Bible's under the stack of magazines. It's at the bottom of the pile. And the shepherd is yelling out. But he's got the headphones on and he's tuned out. What does it mean to tune in? And I think some of our listening problems, the first one is that we can be too far away from God. Hearing God's voice is relational. We need to be in God's presence. And where do we meet God? In his word and with time. You can't have a relationship with God and not spend any time with God. Look, it's so simple. It's too simple. But if we spend no time in his presence, how can we have a deep and meaningful relationship with him? God's not looking for long-distance relationships. Anyone ever have a long-distance relationship? When Amy and I started dating, she lived in Japan. You may not have known that. And I was on Graham and Ann Island, this little island out in the off the coast of New Brunswick. And we were about as far away from each other as you could be. Luckily, it was in the modern enough era that we could manage. We used MSN Messenger. Anybody remember MSN Messenger? And we even got voice chat to work after a while because we couldn't afford to call each other. But the thing is, we were long distance apart, but we spoke every day. It worked because we stayed in communication with one another. We stayed close by staying in contact. We didn't have to be physically close. We stayed close in communication. How close are you with God? Are you giving him some time? James 4:8 says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Elijah was close to God. He heard God's voice in this gentle whisper. He knew the sound of his voice. He knew how to hear God because of his relationship with him. You read his story, and there's all this evidence of him having been close to God. The next one is that there's too much noise, like the sheep kind of in the cartoon earlier. We need to turn down the noise of life to hear God speak. I don't know about you, but things just seem to get louder and louder and louder in life, do they not? There's just more. Everybody wants the best of your time. Everybody wants the most of your time. And then even now, like, there's so many distractions with the phones. And like, they're all great things as long as we remember that they should not and cannot get in the way of hearing God in our lives. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." There's something profound about the stillness and the quiet times we spend with the Lord and in His presence. One of the exercises I did with my students in this process was to sit for about half an hour and think about and meditate on that verse. Every single word I asked them to think about, you might want to try this week. Look at this verse and think about every single word and ask, what does this word tell me? What does it mean to be? What does it mean to just be? Right? To be in God's presence, to be present with God. What does it mean to be still? Oof, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time sitting still. Anybody have a hard time sitting still? If I was just quiet for a moment, I should have done it. I should just randomly stop talking and stood here. You'd start wondering, what's he doing? What's going on? Like, I don't and people would get antsy pretty quick. You might be polite and give me your attention and patience, but eventually you'd be like, this is awkward. Stillness is hard. We don't have time to go through each word, but it's a great practice to meditate on the word of God. Elijah had to cut through the noise of his life to hear. I actually think that the second or the next thing is that our own voice gets in the way. This is one of my biggest problems, is that I think too much. I talk too much. I've got too much going on sometimes to hear God, because I'm always thinking and always processing and always letting my own voice kind of resound in my head. Like, often our own views, opinions, and preconceived ideas get in the way of letting God speak. What if God wants to say something completely different than we think we know? What if He wants to change our minds? 2 Timothy talks about how Scripture is inspired by God and what it's useful for teaching. Well, it teaches us if something's incorrect, right? Showing people what is wrong in our lives. This Scripture implies there are things that are wrong in our thinking, in our lives, that need to be changed. And so the Scripture is meant to reprogram those lies that we've been told by ourselves, by culture, by the world around us. And so it corrects faults and teaches us how to live right. If we're not in the Word, we don't know even what we know, what we think is wrong, if we don't let God speak through His Word. And so you really may never truly hear the voice of God until you lower the volume of your own voice. That's a hard thing to do. I'm going to have a whole message on our own surrendered voice of God and what it sounds like. And then Elijah also went to the mouth of the cave to just listen. He didn't speak, he listened. And the last one is our disobedience or sin can get in the way. James says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Remember right at the beginning, I talked about how sometimes we can hear but not really listen. Have you ever heard someone who's hearing you, but you know they're not listening? Ever done that? If you're married, you ever done that to your spouse? Sometimes I've had to like interrupt Amy and say, I'm really sorry, but I wasn't listening. I need you to start over, because I was thinking about something else. I was distracted or whatever. But the truth is, there are some times where we don't obey the commands of God. And perhaps God isn't ready to speak to us new information until we get busy doing what He's already said to do. God did speak to me through my dad one time to say, sometimes when you think God is distant and not speaking, perhaps He's just waiting for you to be obedient to something He's already told you to do. That's always been something that stuck with me, is when I'm not hearing God loudly in my life, I have to stop and go, is there something I didn't do that God had asked me to do that I need to go back and do before He's going to give me new instructions? Sometimes we're like, you know, like Jonah, and we flee and we run away and we're not doing what God called us to do, and then we're waiting for God to be present and real and fully involved in our lives. He's saying, yeah, I was going to do that if you just went over here where I said to go in the first place. Sometimes our own disobedience and sin can stop us from hearing God's voice. So we need to allow God to transform us. Elijah had a pattern of listening to God and being obedient to God, and therefore God continued to speak into his life even in the difficult times. I'm going to ask the band to come up, and as we close, there's so much more to say and there's so much more to do. But the truth is, I hope you'll get two things out of our message today from God, not from me. And that is that God wants to speak to you. And he wants you to hear his voice. And the primary way you're going to hear God's voice through his Holy Spirit is in the Holy Scriptures that have been recorded for your sake to know and experience God. There's no replacement for it. If you won't meet God there, I'm sorry to say you will feel distant from God and you will struggle to hear his voice in your life. He may try to push through at times, but ultimately he's made it clear this is how he speaks. He's given us this miraculous scripture that we have to encounter him, and it will, if you give it a chance, transform your life. But there might be some listening issues that you have to push through as well. I don't know how far you are from God, but maybe it's time to draw near to him. Even now as we sing, maybe you just need to take a moment and draw near to God and say, God, I want to come close to you. Or maybe there's just too much noise and you haven't just taken the time from something else to give to God. I think some of us, you know, you can't make time, but you can take time. But something has to give. You have to take time away from something else if you want to give more time to God and his word in your life. And then maybe some of you are sitting here saying, I need to quiet my own voice. Maybe prayerfully ask God to help you do that today. And then again, there might be some of us who are just saying, God, I've not been obedient to some command or instruction that you've given me. I've been fleeing from your will. So God, I need to turn to you and say yes. And I believe when we do these things, when we give God our time and our attention and we say, I'm listening, that we'll learn to hear his voice in our lives. And it will guide and direct our paths as he promises in scriptures. He's done for thousands and thousands of years for those who would hear him. God, I come to you for all of us here gathered in your name and ask, Lord, that you would meet with us through the specific revelation of your word, through the general revelation of your people and your church and your spirit. And God, where we would learn to know your voice, that we'd be in tune with your voice, that we would hear it throughout the days, and we would recognize when our own voice gets in the way or when we're not listening. Awaken us, give us ears to hear, God, so that we can know what you would ask of us, where you would direct us. And Lord, may we be obedient to follow in your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?